Well, good evening and welcome to a long weekend edition of White Spot Giants This Week here on the home of Vancouver hockey and the home of the Giants. This is Sportsnet 650. My name is Dan O'Connor and welcome to the show. Coming up in segment number two, we are going to head to Lethbridge. We are going to touch base with the voice of the Lethbridge Hurricanes, Dustin Forbes. We are making our rounds. We are catching up with some of the markets throughout the Western Hockey League, getting a temperature of kind of what the COVID-19 situation is in some of these cities and also kind of what the future holds for some of these franchises. We are going to dive a little deeper into the Lethbridge Hurricanes in segment two. However, in segment number one, we are going to welcome back an individual who has become a huge, a huge Dan favorite and just a huge fan favorite as well. You might know him from his phenomenal work with the Vancouver Province and the Sun, covering the Giants and covering a plethora of other sports in this great city of ours. Always great to welcome Steve Ewan into the conversation. Steve, it's been a little while since we've had a chance to speak like this. I appreciate you doing this and, more importantly, just showing everybody what a noble soul you are, sacrificing your well-earned, hard-earned vacation time to come on this show. It's appreciated as always, pal.
Thanks so much. I am a huge fan of Dan O'Connor. I would sacrifice my entire vacation to talk to Dan O'Connor.
That is so nice of you, and I might even hold you to that. Steve,
there you go.
Steve, this is September 7th. And we live in a world right now where there's an NFL season is about to begin. There's NBA playoffs. There's the Final Four right now in the NHL playoffs. Is this fun? Is this still a bit weird to kind of see these sports taking place the way that they are? A Kentucky Derby this past weekend. I mean, is it fun? Is it weird? Is a little bit of both?
It's strange still to watch these events before either empty stadiums or, in, you know, I watched some college football that was kind of a half empty stadium. So it was, I mean, watching the U.S. Open and tennis and things like that, it's still a little odd and baseball and to see these cut out fans. And but again, it's a great distraction through everything we're going through and through everything we're trying to figure out right now.
Ordinarily, Steve, in early September, we'd be right smack dab in the middle of an exhibition season. Training camp would have come and gone, and we would be in that full-blown evaluation component, getting ready for regular season WHL hockey to start later this month. How weird is it to not be in that mode right now? Because I know myself and several others are really kind of struggling with the fact that it feels more real than ever that we're not doing what we've become so accustomed to be doing over the past, you know, in my case, 10 years.
Yeah, it very much feels like there's only kind of 3 days a week now. There's yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and where everything is just kind of running together and there's no feel for anything and there's no structure to kind of any of our lives anymore. So it's, you know, I would love to be talking right now saying, geez, Dan, do you think Bowen Byram's going to be back with the Vancouver Giants this year? Instead of, you know, probably talking about, geez, Dan, when do you think the Vancouver Giants are going to be back this year? So I'd much rather be, you know, kibitzing about Byram than anything else we're probably going to have to talk about.
Well, you are a mind reader, I'll give you that, because the very next question on my docket for you, Steve, does have to do with Bowen Byram, and, you know, I'm sure we'll segue into kind of what his hockey future is going to look like, but for him to have the bubble experience with the Colorado Avalanche, what do you think that can do ultimately for him moving forward? Didn't get a chance to play, unfortunately, but I can only imagine being in that type of environment for the better part of a month and then some. Just another thing that you can add to Bowen Byram's list that's ultimately going to kind of pave the way for some professional hockey success.
I don't know when the last time you saw him. I got a chance to see him just before he left, and it struck me how much older he looked in only it had been a few weeks or months or something since I'd seen him since the end of the season. And he just looks, he looked like Bowen Byram's older brother. right? Just bigger, stronger, just older. So I think he really did a great job of getting himself ready physically. I think he's such a competitive guy and such a bright guy that he's going to take a lot from this little bit of experience that he got. I think I would be stunned if the Colorado Avalanche didn't do something to open up a spot for him. I'd be stunned if he wasn't playing in the NHL next year, whenever next year is, as a 19-year-old.
My guest right now is Steve Ewan. You, of course, can read his work, the Vancouver Province and the Sun. My guest here on White Spot Giants this week. And, you know, Steve, continuing the Bowen Byram conversation, Kirby Dach got a lot of fanfare during the bubble and really during his rookie season with the Chicago Blackhawks. And I think, fair or unfair, there's always going to be this kind of Kirby Dach, Bowen Byram conversation in that they were drafted 3 and 4. Overall, one ahead of the other. I guess the
what... I sorry to cut you off. I find if they were drafted back to back in the WHL draft as well, and they were actually traded. Those picks were traded for one another.
Totally, and
so I think we can. Yeah, they will forever be linked, probably.
So when Kirby Dach goes to the bubble and goes to the playoffs and has the kind of success that he's had, and yet Bowen Byram has not had that opportunity yet at the NHL level, is there a school of thought where it's like, woo, Bowen Byram's situation is a little bit different with Colorado. They're rich with defensemen on the blue line. I mean, I guess where I'm trying to get with this is to the fan out there that might be crying a bit of foul with all of this, is a bit of patience with Bowen Byram is probably going to be wise in that his time is certain to come.
I think being a forward and being a D-man, I think those are apples and oranges, and I think it's really unfair to I just the expectation for a defenseman, and it takes defensemen longer to develop. And again, I think you were looking at Kirby Dach playing on a Chicago team that was in need of help, as opposed to Bowen Byram being part of a Colorado team that was in a lot of ways set up to take a run at the Stanley Cup. So I think Bowen Byram is going to be just fine. I think where the Bowen Byram conversation for me gets fascinating is 5 years from now, 10 years from now, where will we rank him among Vancouver Giants? He's got a chance to be, he's got a chance to be the best Vancouver Giant ever, depending on how things play out. And that's with great respect for the Brendan Gallaghers and Evander Kanes and the other guys that have come. I think he's that good.
Well, and I think you kind of opened up Pandora's box a little bit with that conversation, because, I mean, I think you look at 19 years of Vancouver Giants hockey, and I think there's an argument that can be made right now that Bowen Byram is probably in the top three of that conversation. You know, Brendan Gallagher, I think, is the automatic, just because where he is as far as the record books are concerned. And then I think, you know, there's the Gilbert Brule, Evander Kane conversation as far as the impact that those two had with their respective tenures with the Giants. But I don't know if we can look at a defenseman that's had an impact with the Giants quite like Bowen Byram has. And that story is still yet to be firmly written, in that he's heading into his 19-year-old season. There is a possibility that we could see him again in junior hockey. But just kind of to double back to a point you made a few moments ago, Steve, you think that the odds of Bowen Byram coming back to junior hockey are fleeting at best, just given all that's happened to him in the past, you know, 4 months?
I think so. And I think Colorado, where they're going, would probably need, you know, it would suit them to get an entry level contract into their mix. I just think there's a lot of reasons why Byram makes sense there. I think he's gonna, if he's not ready yet, he's close to ready. And I think that's part of progressing your story is as a team like Colorado is creating these lines, you know, like who's the next in line. And I think you would want him to get NHL experience, and you know, would it be a different story if a 19-year-old could play in the NHL? Yeah, sure it would. I think that might be the avenue for him, but he can't That said, you wonder if Colorado's thinking, well, there's nothing. You know, he's been to World Juniors. He's been a goal away from going to the Mem Cup. He's done all these things. This is a time to move him along. Also, to double back to our conversation about greatest Giants of all time, I think you get into the conversation of greatest player of all time with their entire body of work or their body of work with the Giants. If you want to talk body of work with the Giants, John Blum was a key guy to 400-point teams. So he's an interesting guy. Milan is interesting as well. We forget that there was a time there where he was the prototype NHL power forward. So that greatest Giant conversation of all time, we could go all sorts of fun ways with that.
And I'm sure we will as things motor on. Steve, you and my guest here on White Spot Giants this week. Steve, when we look at this Giants team as it's currently assembled and as we inch hopefully a bit closer to a return to play as far as junior hockey is concerned, is there a player or is there a smattering of players that you're excited about when it comes to seeing, that jump from say 16 to 17 or 17 to 18 or heck even 18 to 19?
I think Cole Shepherd. I think to see where he gets offensively, there's obviously some key offensive minutes up for grabs and guys that are you have to replace the Milos Romans and the guys near the top of the scoring. I want to see what he's like. I want to see what he's like, bigger and stronger. Justin Sortif, those top end guys. I think the 20-year-old situation next year is fascinating. As well as, do you go with two forwards and one defenseman? Do you go with one forward and two D? Where do you break it down? And what did they learn from last year's 20-year-old situation? Do they make moves faster? It felt like they let things drag a little bit last year. I think that may have caused them some problems.
So when you look at the WHL teams, and I mean, of course, we're in kind of a bit of a no man's land here as far as how it's all going to look. A lot of people that I've had on my show over the course of the summer, they're all looking at the Edmonton Oil Kings, and many teams are mentioning Edmonton as the undisputed favorite to go and win the entire thing in 2020-21. Now, we know how expectations are, and we know that it's not necessarily as easy as it is to say as it is to do to go out and do it, but is there a team that jumps to mind, Steve, that is kind of in that conversation with the Edmonton Oil Kings as being the, I guess, the preseason WHL favorite to win?
I think it's so hard to gauge because you wonder what's going on right now. You wonder what guys are getting done. And I think there's going to be a team that comes out of nowhere because their guys all work their tails off during this stoppage. And I think that's the great unknown is what, because this is an off season like we've never seen before. You see the growth of guys between 16 and 17, 17 and 18. What kind of growth are you going to get with this extended stoppage? So, I mean, Portland's always kind of a team that I'm always got an eye on. It's like an off season like we've never seen before. I'm a Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson is a guy that gets stuff done. I don't know. You got me there.
Okay. Well, a few more here for you, Steve, and we'll let you carry on with your vacation time here on White Spot Giants this week. But one of the benefits, I suppose, to all of this extra time that we all have has been the conversation that has really opened up pertaining to equality, to Black Lives Matter, to the roles of women in sport. There have been some conversations and some protests and things that have kind of involved sport that I think have kind of forever changed the way we view them. in your opinion, with where the conversation is, with where the action is from some of these teams, even from the, you know, especially from the pro level, I mean, is this conversation and is this hopeful, positive trajectory of where this is all heading, is this here to stay, in your opinion?
I think so. I hope so. I hope that this has got traction, and I hope this is really extended. I mean, it's hard as a old chubby white guy. I don't think I understand what a lot of people go through, and it's been eye opening to think that in Canada, I really believe we were farther along than we were, and we're not. And it was great to see what the NHL players did. Great to see what the Evander Kane, Matthew Dumba group is doing, and really making these hard conversations, these uncomfortable conversations, and getting people to you know keep the story alive. And I think that there's enough push and enough people that are willing to ask the hard questions, guys like Evander, that I don't think this is going to fade away. I think you're going to see a continued push for change. I mean, there's still we're still not anywhere close to where we need to be, but I mean, it's been heartening to see as somebody who's getting older and thinking about what are we leaving for the next generation. I think we're making some small positive steps.
Steve, with the WHL set to hopefully resume on December 4th, I don't want to ask you flat out whether you think it's attainable or not, but I guess maybe the better way to kind of frame the question to you is, if December 4th is still realistic, what in your mind kind of has to happen in order to get there? And I think even if you were to prognosticate a little bit further down the line, what does a return look like, even just from a day-to-day aspect? And undoubtedly, your job, my job, everyone's job in all of this probably looks a lot different when we're back going again.
I can't see the league going without fans in the building or some degree of fan attendance. So I think that's going to be that's the hard question. I think you can figure out the borders and figure out the U.S. teams and figure out travel. I think it's going to come down to the medical people feeling comfortable about people sitting in stands and buying tickets. I think that's the hardest thing to figure out. I don't think there's enough you could do with streaming and getting people to buy streaming packages of games to make up for that lost revenue of not having people in buildings. So I think that's a great question. I think December 4th is I'm not sure how many days away in terms of our actual calendar, and in terms of COVID, it's 10 or 15 years away. I just things are so fluid and changing so much that I'm very hopeful that we're up and watching hockey on, in buildings by December 4th. I think it's a possibility, but I do think that it's going to come down to whether or not they can get people in the seats.
And I guess to bring this conversation to a close, Steve, I mean, obviously with the NHL occupying a lot of our TVs and a lot of the news cycle, I mean, is there anything that, I guess from watching the NHL, I mean, is there anything creatively that the WHL could maybe do that, I guess what can be learned from this NHL experience that could potentially benefit junior hockey down the road, if anything?
I do think the Black Lives Matter push, I think that's something that I'd like to see junior hockey take on. And I mean, Matthew Dumba is a WHL grad. Evander Kane is a WHL grad. I think you need to get those voices in and give those guys a platform and have those commercials or the public address announcements in WHL ranks. I think that's something I'd like to see. That's a big one for me. I think it's hard to make that the game experience comparable because I can't see the league ever, the WHL ever going to empty rinks. I just don't think that's ever, even close to feasible.
And the last burning question I have for you, Steve, before we let you go, do you have a like a, d during the pandemic, have you discovered a new favorite snack or a new favorite culinary specialty, something that you've been kind of with all this vacation or with all this downtime, what's been the popular food item in the Ewan household?
What's been the popular food? We're barbecue people, so we do a lot of barbecue stuff. I'm starting to get into the Beyond Meat, which I never thought I would get into, but I find if I, spice, going with some spices and some rubs, I like a lot more. Been trying to frequent or to skip the dishes with some local restaurants. My white spot go-to has become the beef dip and yam fries. So that's kind of that's my new one when we do the white spot.
And with that in mind,
That's a nice way to round it out, eh?
I'm officially hungry. I'll say
There you
that.
go.
Always enjoy the conversation, Steve, and always enjoy, whether it's on the air or off of it, the work you do in this city, not just for the Vancouver Giants, but for sports in general. It's definitely impressive, and obviously with where we're at as a society and with where we're all at professionally, I mean, we kind of roll with the punches together, and for that, I commend you. Want to wish you continued safety, health, positivity to you and to Carolann, of course, and I sure look forward to the day where we can gather again together. But when the next conversation happens, I will be just as excited. Thanks for this, Steve. Go and enjoy the rest of your week, and a happy Labor Day long weekend to you.
Thanks so much, and I too am looking forward to the next time that you and I are fighting over a box of Timbits at Langley Med Center.
Steve Ewan on White Spot Giants this week. We'll take a break. Dustin Forbes, voice of the Lethbridge Hurricanes, is next.